in your research, you've specifically focused on the production of livestock when it comes to sustainable agriculture. Just looking at some of the background here in terms of what we're going to be dealing with, what is the projected growth in the global demand for livestock products, the likes of meat, dairy, eggs and such?
Yeah, as you suggested in your opening remarks, especially in economies where incomes are increasing, so you've got a lower class moving towards the middle to upper class, they have more disposable income, and that disposable income then is directed towards purchasing higher protein foods, and this is where red meat certainly fills that criteria.
How are livestock productions expected to be affected, though, by the effects of climate change?
Well, climate change is certainly going to have an impact as far as the supply of available nutrition for those animals and regular supply. So it will require some changes as far as preparedness is concerned. As you stated, the areas, relate to rainfall. If it doesn't rain, well, that's going to have a huge impact. So planning ahead, so in the good times, conserving fodder, such as hay, silage or grains, conserving water to be able to be utilised during those drier times will certainly be a priority.
I mean, looking at some of the images, the video that came out the other week when some of those drought-affected areas here in Australia did get these much, much needed rains, I mean, it would bring a tear to a glass eye. But in terms of our level of preparedness, when we've seen this extreme heat, this extreme drought over, well, the last few years, what do you make of our current levels of preparedness?
I feel that there's certainly some producers that are very prepared. They come unstuck when that dry period extends beyond that 2 to 3 year period. So a lot of the progressive farmers will have foodstuffs stored, but just the capacity to store beyond sort of 18 months to 2 years is impractical. Plus that foodstuff quality tends to deteriorate over time. I feel that this drought is an opportunity to really promote to all producers that when climatic or seasonal conditions do change and there's more rainfall, allowing pastures and crops to be conserved, that they certainly fill all their sheds, all their silos, make sure that there's a lot more feed on hand. I'm aware that there's potentially a situation where some farmers are getting advice, especially from their accountants, that store feed is not necessarily economically viable in a good season. But the problem becomes that, you know, a good season can certainly turn into a fairly ordinary season and a drought fairly quickly. So my suggestion would be to make sure all storage facilities are filled every year, and then you've got that pressure being taken off that sort of feed market that tends to increase during a dry period when there's more demand, and especially in a situation such as we are in now where a lot of the country is experiencing drought and has done for such a long time.
Would it be fair to say, though, outside of the producers, these producers that have, found themselves prepared or very fortunate, apart from the dedication to more sustainable agriculture in 2017, the Australian government has been fairly slow to implement any real policies. Would that be fair to say?
I don't want to comment on government policy because I think it's, that's for others to comment on. The producers are very mindful, and this is the vast majority, they don't want to see these dust storms that we're experiencing currently because that's loss of topsoil and degradation of their land. They're trying to achieve situations where they maintain ground cover and to a point where they'll either destock or move stock onto particular paddocks in order to try and maintain as much vegetation on their land as they possibly can, and that vegetation will then stabilise the topsoil and prevent it from blowing away. The unfortunate thing is, as long as the drought sort of extends, and we're certainly into the third year in lots of areas, that situation becomes more difficult to try and sustain over a longer period of time.
As some I saw suggesting the other day, perhaps we should stop calling them dust storms, which, you know, makes them sound sort of dirty and useless, and say these are actually soil storms. This is the topsoil being lost in some of these horrific weather events, and obviously it does have really very real effects. Just as perhaps a final point, as I say, you have been focusing on the production of livestock, regardless of demand, as some have said, in the future, regardless of the demand that we might see for animal products, is there a likelihood that sustainable agriculture is not going to be able to save the lifestyle we currently enjoy, and we simply will have to wean ourselves off some of those products we may enjoy, like red meat, like eggs, like some of the dairy? Will we have to wean ourselves off as supply doesn't meet demand?
And I feel that industry certainly geared towards meeting that sustainable requirement and expectation from consumer. The case with ruminants, such as sheep and cattle, is that they graze on country that is specifically suited for their ability to convert fairly ordinary material into a highly valuable product. And a lot of that country, if you remove those animals, you couldn't necessarily convert to something else as far as food production is concerned. So they have a real position in providing food, and especially high-quality protein, which is so needed in lots of diets, and especially in the diets of developing children. So that's a real factor there that we really need to sort of, support and make sure that that continues to be our focus. Shutting up that country is not going to be beneficial for other uses. Mm. There's also a social side of the story, where a lot of producers are really quite keen in making sure that they're seen as being sort of custodians of the land, and they're really keen to introduce practices, so if they already haven't, in order to make sure that that production is continuing to be as sustainable as possible.
Well, Russell, I do very much appreciate your time having a bit of a chat with us about this one this morning.
Thank you.